welcome to the Crossax Method podcast, where our goal is to educate, inspire, and entertain you with all things health and fitness. We'll discuss training, nutrition, what's happening in and around the box, plus a whole bunch of unrelated topics sure to keep you engaged and having a laugh. So grab a brew, sit back, and come bang some weights with the Crossax team. So, this is the first Crossax Method podcast. We're starting this to answer a lot of those little questions that pop up in the gym and a lot of the things that we don't often get a chance to talk about in a one-on-one environment or with everyone at once. Sometimes we'll speak to certain issues to some classes, but then we might not see another class and some people miss out on some information. And I've had, over the last sort of 8 years or so, some really amazing conversations with different coaches and people that I wish now that I had recorded. So hopefully we can have some conversations about training, about nutrition and health, any of those little things that you guys want answered in the gym, questions that pop up from time to time that we don't always get to talk about. So I'm here with Maddie today. So welcome.
Hey, you on?
So hopefully this pans out all right. But just sort of speaking with Maddie, I thought one of the first things we could speak about was essentially our three mantras in the gym that we have that are plastered up in big black bold letters on the wall. Now, we've been meaning to sort of talk about this to everyone, but haven't had the opportunity to do it. So not too long ago, we made the move to deal with, I guess, management and the box a little bit differently in terms of where we're heading. And the changes have come about due to, I guess, me trying to quantify where we want to be as an affiliate, what I want for our members and also all of our staff. So I went to the staff and asked them to work with me to come up with three major things that I guess we want to talk about and inspire and apply to our community here at Crossax. And the first one's integrity. So you're not continually listening to me rabbit on, I'll throw over to Maddie and put him on the spot right now and just say, hey, what do you see as integrity for not only, I guess, yourself, in regards to yourself, in regards to the members, and then maybe sort of the gym on a whole.
Right. So, with integrity, I think that everyone can sort of agree with me that like when whatever you're doing, whether it's in here doing a workout or you're just out there just doing your job or in your everyday life just chilling out. You always come across something. It's like, I know I should do this, but I'm slack to, or I'm a little lazy to. Whether it's like you literally scrunch a piece of paper up, throw it, and misses the bin, and it's like, I should probably pick that up, but I don't feel like it. But hopefully, 100% of you do go and pick it up, put it in the bin, stuff like that.
So I guess little things you don't actually put too much thought to. That can be seen as lazy, I guess.
Yeah, well, not lazy. I guess it is laziness, but it's like if your integrity, if you've got good integrity, you'll obviously go, like, you'll do the right thing. Like, it says it on the wall, do the right thing regardless. So,
yeah, perfect.
And, like, you can, like, in the gym, you can really sort of look at it a bit more, whereas, like, you're doing a workout. You could be doing war balls because they're the easiest ones to sort of judge yourself. You don't throw it high enough. You can either A, say, oh, close enough, it'll do, or B, well, it wasn't high enough. Let's do that rep again. It doesn't count. That's probably the easiest example I can think of, especially just looking at the war ball targets right now above the word.
Yeah. Perfect. So what can you see then if, let's say you had a lack of integrity and you're like, you know what, man, that's close enough. Like, I'm just going to count that. And continuing to do that over, I guess, weeks, months, years, where do you sort of see that going in terms of your benefit from the training or or your decisions to not follow through on all those small things?
Like, just coming from my point of view, when you sort of, I'm just looking at the fitness side of things here and the CrossFit side of things, you know. Yeah, if you're always sort of just shortcutting reps, movements, you know, you don't really care. You're just like, oh, yeah, it's close enough. I'll move on to the next part of the workout. You might be, like, to yourself, you might be like, yeah, I'm still working out. It doesn't matter. But, like, everyone else is there doing the right thing, hitting their reps, working through it. And then if you look at the CrossFit Open, you can really see it play a factor where you might be never throwing to the right height, never really squatting to full depth, always, like, cutting your reps short. You have someone there judging and counting you. All of a sudden, you're, you know, at the back of the pack just because the way you've been training. When you've got someone there keeping you accountable and keeping your integrity there, they're literally making sure you're keeping your integrity in the workout. That's when it comes crashing down a little bit. And not just that, it can happen in, you know, the real world as well with your job, whatever you're doing. You know, you might just, you know, going through the paces, going through each day, and then all of a sudden you get called up to do something, and because you've always been a bit lazy, haven't really cared, you sort of get thrown under the bus a little bit when it's time to actually, you know, get out there and perform. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cool. I guess, you know, looking at that from, say, a coach's point of view, we've had over the years, you know, maybe a handful of instances where, you know, we get complaints about cutting reps, or, you know, this person's cheating or whatever it might be. And most, if not all the time, it's actually those people not actually understanding or knowing what they're doing. And it's just miscounting, because the athletes most of the time are doing what we're asking them to do in terms of pushing the intensity as hard as we can. And, you know, I know, you know, we've all been there. Sometimes you just blatantly forget where you're at with a workout. And, you know, we want you to remember. You know, we've got the opportunity to write your rounds and stuff up on the boards. But I guess when we apply integrity to that, it's like, cool, if you get made aware of, hey, maybe you didn't get all the reps done on that round or whatever it might be, we're not actually questioning, you know, we're not questioning your integrity. I guess we're just letting you know that, hey, you know, we know where you're at, and we absolutely 100% applaud the effort that you're putting in. But let's just be mindful of also trying to be accountable for those sorts of things. Now,
then, you know, I guess you could sort of bring that back to like, hey, we've let you know. Now you might be, oh, now I'm aware. I'm just losing track. Now I might actually keep counting my rounds so I can stay accountable in my own workout. And, you know, because you can easily see, like I can anyway, you know who hasn't done the right amount of reps. You just know how long certain things take.
Yep.
And, like, it might be an accident. Like, 99% of the time, it's an accident. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You always walk up to people, oh, what are you up, bro? And they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, yeah. Oh, just do three more. Get to the next exercise. Keep count this time. And
yeah.
A lot of time, it's just that sort of stuff. But, you know, you don't get anywhere cutting reps. Just to beat someone in a class of 15 is not really, you know, it's
well, you're doing yourself a disservice, really.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you said, sometimes people, you know, you just forget and you just don't know. And that's okay. Like, you're still getting fitter.
It's not like I don't think anyone really cares too much if someone is, you know, cutting reps short or they're miscounting reps. But it's like in the heat of the moment, I guarantee you, like, I'm giving my all right now. I'm doing all these reps and they're not. And
I guess the main reason people would care is if they think that someone's doing it knowingly.
Yeah.
Because that then becomes a different conversation altogether, you know. And then, you know, we need to question motives and why you're training and what you're trying to get out of it, if that's the case. But I think most of the time that's not the case. So,
Yeah, and in the end, you know, you're training with people that are pushing you, but you should be competing against yourself. In the end, you're trying to better yourself. You're not trying to better anyone else, really. You're just trying to get yourself fitter. So, and you're using other people to help you get fitter. So, even if someone is cutting those reps short, that's all good. Just means might push you a bit harder to get all your reps done in the same time they're doing their shorter reps. So,
cool. Absolutely.
And don't forget, people scale reps down as well. You know, we always, like we say it every class, take the reps down a little bit. So if someone's finishing before you, good chance they're just scaling appropriately and so they can get the workout done at the same time you can.
Yeah, that's it. Cool. I mean, I guess we kind of got a little bit sidetracked there. But, you know, it all leads into accepting, you know, responsibility for yourself, doing the right thing regardless, and also with me, I think it's an awareness thing. So, you know, just being aware of what your actions might mean to someone else. You know, you put the groceries in the car, you flick the trolley out beside the car and you just leave it at the front because you can't be asked putting it back. You know, essentially you're creating work for someone else, you're causing an issue where that trolley might roll into their car. You know, so having that, you know, if you do all of those small things, those little personal victories that you can have throughout the day, I think will make a massive change or improvement to your character overall. It kind of just makes you feel good at the end of the day as well. So did you have anything else to add on the integrity part?
Nah, you sort of put me on the spot a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
cool. All right, so the next one, you should see this one coming. The next one's solidarity.
I can't see the explanation underneath it. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't read it either. Haven't you got it tattooed on your neck?
It's in Spanish. I can't read it.
All right. So, with solidarity, it's essentially, you know, we bandied around a few different words there. The big thing with where this was moving and where I could sort of see this going is solidarity is basically integrity is something you can take care of yourself. No one else can really take care of that for you. Solidarity is where the group come together. So you know, all the members here, our community here at CrossFit CrossAxed, having the support of one another, and I guess. Maddie, if you want to talk to how that might be positive in a class mindset, and then I might, speak about where it might help outside the gym.
Solidarity, I really can't see the definition there, but I believe it does have the word community in it, I think.
Yeah.
And essentially that's what it is. We're uniting together, and the CrossFit community is a world-known term that all gyms, I think, incorporate. And when you're in a class, you're all out there together, you're doing the exact same workout, you're all here for the same reasons. Doesn't really matter if you're here to lose weight, get stronger, you know, a bit of training for a different sport, or you're doing CrossFit as a sport, you're all here to do CrossFit and enjoy yourself while you're here doing it. And when you're in a class, everyone gets along, you help each other out, like you have to share squat racks all the time, you get together on barbells, a lot of the time on the rowers and GHDs, you've got to wait for one another, and when we're coming together as a community, you should just be like happy just to wait and just share equipment with other people as well. And not just talking about the workout, when you have a new member, you guys do a really good job of welcoming them into the gym. Every introduction session, we let them know, you know, first session, we're going to, you know, let everyone know who you are. First session, guaranteed everyone will be really friendly, introduce themselves, help you out here and there. You know, if you're heading down the back, they might say, hey, kettlebells are down here, come down and we'll grab one and head back out to the floor. And every session, every new member, without failure, it happens to, everyone helps them out, and it's really, really good to see. Anything else on that one?
No, I think you hit on some really good points there. You know, one thing, you know, we as coaches even forget to push a little bit is the support of you guys when someone's still working out. Everyone's been there. We all know what it's like to be kind of like that last athlete working. And it's not necessarily the slowest athlete or, you know, the most unfit athlete that's last to finish, because, you know, if most people scale right, you know, we want everyone kind of finishing around the same time, whether it's an RXD athlete or, you know, someone here in their first session. If it's a task priority, say a set given rounds for a workout, we want everyone to be sort of finishing that workout together. If they're not, though, which is often the case, you know, there might be a spread of anywhere from seconds to minutes in terms of when everyone finishes. We want to see everyone get behind the people that are still working out. And that's why we don't pack up our equipment, you know, early. We don't want to be seen as like, hey, you know what, I'm finished. I don't really care what's going on. I'm going to put my stuff away. We want you guys to be getting around each other, showing support, and helping those people that are still going. You know, and without sort of leading into, you know, why we put time caps on workouts and things like that. We just need to make sure that you finish strong. You cheer people on. If someone's struggling with a run, you know, oftentimes we get people head back out that finished a bit earlier and run in with them.
Yeah, it's awesome to see, actually, especially when there's like that last 800-meter run or 400 run. So it's good to see some people run out there and jog back in with the guy or girl that's still coming in off their run. So that's awesome to see. I love seeing that, and you're both running all the way across the line together. It's really good to see, or jump down, do some burpees next to them on those certain burpee workouts. It's always good to see you guys help each other out that way.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you've all been there. You're having some pretty hell conversations with yourself on that last 800-meter run or whatever it might be at the end of a workout. And you can very easily talk yourself into just cruising back and I'll just get there when I get there, I'm done, you know. First, if you got someone else there running with you, giving you some support or doing burpees beside you, I guess the feeling comes across as you don't really want to let those guys down, so you get stuck in and go from there.
And shout out to Nicole. She's always out there doing that because, you know, she loves a good run. I think every single workout, she runs back out there and runs in with the person that's still going. So
yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to her. Good job.
Cool. So I guess that's like solidarity in terms of the class, you know, making sure everyone feels supported. We've all, you know, you guys have all come in at one point or another into the gym and had that, you know, those feelings of anxiety and, you know, do I fit in here? What do these people think while I'm doing X, Y, Z? And everyone's been in that position. So I guess the only advice I can give you, which most of you guys do really well anyway, is when a new athlete comes into the gym, is have a think about how you felt on your first workout and how intimidating it might be for them to come into an environment like the gym we have here and, you know, see a bunch of fit people throwing heavy weight around. And, you know, just give them some support and show them the ropes and sort of take them under your wing. External to, I guess, the immediate class time frame, the class setting, solidarity, I guess, with our community here goes, I think, beyond that. You know, we've had circumstances in the past where people are having rough time or need a hand with certain things, and you know, seeing the community come together to help each other out is absolutely phenomenal. You know, I can't count the number of charity events we've had here over the last 8 years, and whether that's a local charity or someone helping out extended family or anything like that. So, I think it's extremely valuable. So if we go back and we're kind of looking at integrity is like self, solidarity is the group, and that leads us into virtuosity. So we sort of brushed on with integrity and how we spoke about, you know, did the wall ball hit the target? Did I come down through a full range on my squat? Did that repetition actually count? We spoke about that a little bit, but I guess, again, I'll hand it over to Maddie to talk about virtuosity of training and, you know, how he thinks that fits in.
Right, so looking at training, I'll just go to myself for starters before I get into the class workouts. Those that don't know what I do for my program with my coach, we do a lot of repeat workouts. So I'm almost every week I'll be doing a workout that I did the week before. Like, of like Fran's a big one. I'll do Fran at least every once a fortnight. I'll be doing Fran, and benchmark workout 21:59 thrusters, pull ups. I'm sure most of you know about it. So doing it a lot. Virtuosity is it's all about it's about perfection, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, got the right one. Doing that workout so many times, it gives you a chance to try perfect that workout, going as fast as you can with your fitness level at the time, to trying to really nail in that perfect time, pretty much. So it's all about practice. So one time I might hit it a certain way, the next time I might try a different way, trying to find and really work towards trying to, you know, perfect that workout. And you can put that into anything, like, you know, you're working on your squat pattern. You know, everyone, doesn't matter who you are, you need to work on your squat. So, you know, I do a lot of mobility to work on the squat. I do a lot of strength training to try to get my, you know, stronger in positions. I do Pilates once a week when I remember to make my appointment. And I work on, hope Mike's listening, I work on a lot of little things that you know, don't really think you need to do, but if you really want to strive for that perfection, you really need to you know, get in and do the little things as well, not just the big and common things. You need to do those little things to help train for it.
So I guess in line with that, Matty, I guess is a good little window for us to go in and talk about when you increase the volume of your training, which certain people do in the gym for varying reasons. We won't sort of go into that. But what we see more often than not is a direct increase in volume. And what we mean by that is you start doing extras, and you start doing extras every day, and then we start training every day, and then we might only have one rest day a week, and then, you know, before you know it, you're accumulating quite a number of repetitions under your belt. But I think, you know, a lot of people don't do the mobility, the stretching, you know, the body maintenance, the Pilates, like yourself, to coincide with that. So, you know, like...
Yeah. And, like, with the extras on the board down the back, you'll find a lot of those workouts that pop up with a lot of stability-type exercises. A lot of the ones that usually people skip over that workout and they'll go straight for the, you know, fun skier GHD sit-up workout rather than do the five sets of slow scap protractions and, you know, reverse shrugs on the dip bars and doing your L-sit holds, trying to get your core stronger so you can lift heavier. They just go straight for the, you know, I wouldn't call it the more fun workout on the board, but the one that they're, you know, happy to do. They don't mind, you know, going on a skier, a little bit more uncommon, yep. Or they don't mind doing their, you know, 2RM back squat on the board, but they'll usually skip over those, the little
hollow rocks and the...
Hollow rocks is a big one. We're starting to put them in the class a little bit more now as well, just so everyone has the chance to get the exposure to it, because not everyone has the chance to just do the extras each day.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the members are pretty busy.
Yeah, you know, it's a fine line in terms, and I'm sure we'll have another episode on programming and talking about that, but it's a fine line for us. I mean, you know, people talk about, hey, you know, I want to get X amount of muscle ups, I want my gymnastics to get better, I want to, you know, really see improvement there, my handstand push up, and it's like, cool, okay. If we programmed a strict gymnastics program as part of our GPP or our general physical preparedness program, it would bore the shit out of everyone.
Yeah,
you know, like it, like we could do it, but you know,
yeah, they're very boring.
Yeah,
workouts to do, because they're usually very slow moving as well, and they usually soak up a lot of time. Most of the time, it's something you can do. You don't need to be in the gym to do most of those little movements, like. You know, fair enough, you might need a pull-up bar if you don't have one, but most of the core work you can just do on the ground, or you can just find a park bench or something, and you can always do a lot of those movements that we have on there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, I mean, virtuosity of movement now, again, we see this breakdown time and time again, and you know, we always, you know, the main focus for us is mechanics, consistency, then intensity. A lot of the times we see people, you know, forego that consistency of good movement and jump straight to intensity. And then we start seeing a variation. I know personally, I saw it quite a bit this morning in terms of the barbell back squat. So, yep. You know, when we look at the workout itself, we got to have a think about, you know, whether we're competing, we're training, or we're practicing movement. So the practice component of the workout is when, you know, we're drilling you guys. We're like, yeah, up, down, set, get into a full back squat, knees out, chest up, stand. And we're trying to get everyone to sit into that perfect squat. And everyone's going to be at varying places along their, you know, position with the squat. So some people are going to be in a really good position. Some people are going to be working on their mobility, and they might only be able to get 3/4 of the way down while maintaining a good neutral spine. And, you know, all of these different factors vary into the advice we give different people. A lot of the time, however, on the 3-2-1 go, we see, right, hell, you know, to hell with it. I'm going to go as fast as I can. You know, men die for points, essentially. So what we need to think about is if using today, for example, we did 100 lightweight back squats, and, you know, we essentially practiced 100 reps of a back squat. And if we went fast and threw caution to the wind and didn't really care about our form, then we taught our body to move poorly for 100 repetitions. So your body's going to start remembering the movement pattern you use today as its go-to for positioning for your squat. So using that as an example, you know, we'd rather see you do 50 squats at a lighter weight or 50 squats at the same weight, maintaining a better position so that each time you squat, it's you're moving as perfectly as you can. And then that way, that's going to lead to being able to do 100 back squats at that weight, moving well, or 100 back squats at double that weight, moving well. So I guess, you know, kind of that's where we see a bit of a breakdown sometimes.
Yes, definitely. And not just about today's, it's about every day as well. We see it, especially, we'll use those short, fast workouts.
Yep.
Everyone loves the sacrifice technique just for a couple of seconds quicker on the clock, where you need to be looking at the long run, trying to you know, strive for that perfection in the end, trying to get those good movements. And you'll be surprised how much faster you can become in 6 months' time from going a little slower and moving better rather than just trying to get the fastest time possible. Like, you're still working out hard. Like, it's not easy to squat well. It's absolutely actually easy to squat incorrectly and fast because it's like what I just said, it's easier. So maybe just taking your time a little bit more, moving well, putting yourself in a good position, it'll actually help you sort of progress and strive for that, you know, get that virtuosity of the movement, or even of just CrossFit in general, trying to move better in all the movements.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess if it's causing you to slow down so much that you're losing the conditioning effect, we need to look at a number of things. You know, are you doing the right movement, the mobility of it? And then if you're worried, I guess if you're concerned about conditioning and you do a workout, let's say Fran, for example, and instead of just going hell for leather and doing whatever you can to get those thrusters done, you take a little bit more time and you get in a good upright position and you move better. Even though you might be a little bit slower today, if you feel like you didn't get any conditioning done, then you can always just jump on the rower, the air bike, hit a Tabata session, you know, blow the lungs out, and then, you know, focus on movement.
And if we're looking at that, like, you might have someone that just come off knee reconstruction, very fresh, their first week back at training. You know, if we're doing Fran, they're probably not, they can squat, but they're probably not going to take 10 minutes just to go through their 21 thrusters, maybe just squatting down very slowly. You know, if we're trying to get the workout, we'll get a workout happening where we might get them to do a light push press and maybe some ring rows so they're not jumping off the pull-up bar, and that's how they get their workout completed. okay, we're not just going to say, hey, move well. You can squat, squat well.
Yeah.
You know, you might not be able to squat in at the, you might not be able to work out at the intensity we're requiring, so we'll scale the movement down a little bit so you can. So
it's, yeah, like, yeah.
It's, yeah, there is that line where it's, you got to decide whether you move well or you scale the movement because you can't, you know, hold the quality of movement throughout the workout, so.
Yeah, and I guess another thought I just had also was we see it a lot with overhead squatting and, you know, people with mobility issues forcing the overhead squat and trying to get into, you know, a position at all costs, you know, internally rotated shoulders, knees in, and just really poor positioning, whereas what we might say to those people is, hey, for today, let's get the bar overhead, reduce the weight to a certain point. But if it's all the way back to a barbell, it might be, hey, look, let's reduce the weight and just go as deep as we can, maintaining a strong midline. And then, you know, it might be still above, considerably above parallel, but there's no benefit in pushing yourself into bad position in the bottom of an overhead squat. So, you know, we might say that, hey, for today, do that. So, you know, we're not always saying that virtuosity has to be, you have to get into the, you know, full depth of an overhead squat. Or else, it's like, hey, let's do the absolute best that you can today, and then let's improve that mobility outside the class with some actual mobility and stretching and whatever the case is to get that better. So, you know, sort of taking a quick step back, you know, we're looking at virtuosity in the short term, which might be like right now. What can I do right now to do the best, you know, repetition I can? Am I meeting the points of performance? Do I feel like I'm skirting the edge of performance and mechanics? And you might do that in a competition setting, but you don't want that to be your go-to all the time. And then we can also look at it from a long-term point of view is, you know, where do I want to be in a year, you know, 6, 12, 18 months' time? And how can I, you know, shoot for the best that I can be there? So in terms of training, I guess that's where we see it. But you can apply this to, you know, your whole life, essentially. You know, am I doing everything I can right now at this, you know, being present at this moment? Can I do something better? You know, I use it at work a little bit. You know, if we're doing training drills or whatever we're doing on shift, it might be like, hey, how could have I done that better? What am I doing right now that I can improve? Can I be doing something better now than what I am doing? Or can I do what I am doing more efficiently or more effectively? Cool. So just sort of scaling back, we've got integrity, which is self, solidarity, which is a group of members, which, you know, a community of people here that we love and want to show support for each other and really help each other out. And then the theory behind virtuosity is that's where we're going. So what can I do myself? How can I help out within the group? And where are we all going together? And that's sort of our virtuosity. We're trying to do everything to the absolute best that we can, striving for excellence, essentially. So, I guess that kind of wraps up.
Yeah, and you can probably just from hearing Rob just say all that, you can see how it all just ties in together as well.
Yeah.
You can't really be striving for excellence unless you've got pretty good integrity to, you know, do the right thing and, you know, have those strong moral principles. And then you grab, you know, you all work together. You know, I don't think I've ever really seen anyone do extra work by themselves. They're always there. Absolutely. It was a group, so that's when our solidarity coming together as a community and helping each other out to strive for that excellence. So it all ties in with, we can't really have one without the other two, really.
Cool. So wrapping up there, guys, we'll have an opportunity somewhere when I figure out how to get this podcast somewhere you can listen to it to provide feedback. Send us any questions that you might have. Or any topics that you want us to talk about, whether you actually listen to this or you got a little bit in and just went, you know what, I don't want to hear those guys talk anymore. Let us know what your thoughts are and if you found it valuable. So also thought we'd do a little piece at the end where we just called like an axe to grind. just for a bit of a laugh. I don't know how it's going to go, but just those things where, you know, you guys can send them into us as well, those little things that just niggle you, that you really just wind you up, just grate on your spine, that you have pop up during the week or, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
Have you got one?
Oh, I've got several.
All right, let's hold it. Just give me the best one.
Oh.
Or the one that's got you lately.
Oh, that one. Chalk. Just not the chalk you put on your hands, your writing chalk. It's I find it everywhere. I found it on squat racks, on weight plates. I've found it
in the plyometric boxes.
Oh yeah, all the time. on rowers left on an assault bike. Every piece of equipment I've found a piece of chalk on. So let's get them back in the on top of the chalk buckets if we can, guys. It's especially poor Ash. He's struggling. he doesn't like the chalk. Yeah,
sweet. So. Good one, man. That one was always going to come up.
let's get over and done with.
Yeah, I'm going to take mine out of the gym, and sometimes it can happen in the gym too. It's a lack of self-awareness. All right, so you know, like when you're grocery shopping. And you're like pushing the trolley down, and someone's got like their trolley sideways in the aisle, and you can't get past. And they're just standing there looking at Doritos, and not paying any attention.
This wasn't me the other day, was it?
Or when you know, like you're driving down Oxford Street, and someone's just standing at the pedestrian crossing, but they're not walking across the road. Oh. They're just standing there, and all the traffic's pulling up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that gets me. That gets me. So, anyway, team, I think that's about it. We're going to update, use this also as a bit of a communication to update you guys on what's happening in the gym. So, coming up soon, which we'll notify you guys about, is a CrossFit team series. So, that's about grabbing a buddy and throwing down together, much like the CrossFit Open, but it's done in pairs. So we'll have a look at that. We'll let you know when we're going to do it. We might have the second or first weekend as a bit of a in-house games day, something like that. Henna's got a girls' night coming up in a few weeks, so keep an eye out for that. Make sure you jump on the members page or ask Henna about it. I think they're doing like Friday night, bring all the girls in, kick all the dudes out, and they're going to do their strong, fit girl thing on a Friday night.
Nice.
So yeah, I think that's about it. So we're done, man. Yep. 37 minutes.
Sweet.
On the head.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Talk later.